Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
How many believe that God still does miracles? Amen. I'm going to testify real quick, a short miracle. I won't keep it long. And then we're going to get into our word. Because it's all about miracles. And God still does them. 28 years ago. I've been saved now 34. But 28 years ago, I was working out of the El Cajon real estate office called Veterans Home and Finance. I was a realtor. Didn't own a home, never did. No one in my family ever owned a home. You know, I was the first to graduate, praise God, out of all my 11 brothers and sisters. So, you know, there was some kind of favor that God was having upon me, and I didn't know the plans yet at that time. But I remember my broker, Archer Sagman. He goes, "Hey, Fee, there's a house. I don't know why I can't sell it." He goes, "Houses around there are selling left and right." He goes, "Do you want to do an open house for me?" I go, "Yeah, where is it?" He goes, "It's in Chula Vista." I said, "No problem, man, no problem." He goes, if you take care of that for me on Saturday," he goes, I'll give you $50 for doing the open house." "No problem." I go, "Where is it at?" Gave him the address. 502 Douglas Street, this house. So I put the open house signs out. I sat in that right there. The TV was here against that wall. I sat there. And for almost 4 hours, nobody showed up. I go, "Man." And then I saw other houses down the street had open houses, and there were people over there. But no one came near. I said, "That's odd." So I closed and locked everything up. And I go, "Hey, Archer, sorry, man. No one came." He goes, "That's okay." He goes, "I have no clue what." He goes, "Tom and Sandy Kozak, the owners, he said that this is the third property that he helped him purchase, this home." He goes, "I can't sell it. I need to sell it for them." I didn't know why there was an urgency, but he needed it to be sold for them. So almost 3 months went by. And he calls me up into his office. He goes, "Hey, Fee, you and Yolanda still looking to purchase a home?" I go, "Yeah, Archer, but Yolanda's credit's not the best, and I write so many things off. You know, as a realtor, I go, I can afford, but on paper it doesn't show. So there's no way I can purchase a home. We've tried. We tried with Shauna, our in-house lender. We tried it with other lenders. We couldn't do it." He goes, "I have the deal for you." I go, "All right, what is it?" He goes, "Remember that open house you did, 502 Douglas Street?" I go, "Yeah, yeah." He goes, "My dear friends, Tom and Sandy Kozak, their retirement home in New Mexico is completed. They got two mortgages now. They can't afford the one in Chula. And so I told them about you, and they said all they want is give them $3,000, and they'll quit claim the deed over to you." I go, "What? That's unheard of." They go, "Yeah. Just give them $3,000, they'll walk away and quit claim the deed over to you. It'll be your home." Me and Yolanda came here, and we fell on our knees. We dropped oil right there where Brother Art's foot is, right there around that area. It was carpet there. We dropped oil on there, and we just cried. We just kept weeping before the Lord. God delivered this home, and we came in through the back door, not the front door. Traditional, you have to go through a lender. And we've been here 28 years. Amen. And it was a miracle. Only God can do those kind of miracles. Because no one in their right mind will just sign over their house to you. Yes. Well, I got so many, I can't share them all. Share this with you. I got. That's why we're going to get into our study. Because God is still doing miracles. Can I get amen? And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 13 through 18. And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, if you have your cell phones, put them on the silent or off. And I've entitled this morning's message, Our Miracle Working God. Our Miracle Working God. You know, our salvation is a miracle. Amen? Being saved is a miracle. I hope you know that. Taking our sick heart that was drenched in sin, how he took it and cleansed it, he washed it in the blood, and then he filled us with his Spirit. Come on, that's a miracle now. We didn't need Dr. Spock. We didn't need Oprah. We didn't need Dr. Phil to tell us how to get better. Can I get amen? Amen. It was Jesus. Amen. No, I don't care how many books you read. There's only one book, hallelujah, that'll set you free, and that's the Word of God. So are we there in Daniel? Let's go to the Word. This scene takes place with King Nebuchadnezzar, who sent out a decree. He said, I want the whole nation to bow down to this statue that I just built. But there were three Hebrew kids, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow down to Baal, to this idol. Pastor Art's been teaching us about idols in the men's study. So we're getting more familiar, aren't we, with idols. And so because of their disobedience to that king, to that unruly king, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. And it was heated up 7 times hotter than normal. In other words, you could drop metal in there and it would melt. That's how hot it was. Let's see how this story goes. Let's read. The Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, or even worship the gold image which I have set up? So he's inquiring, he's questioning them. You can imagine these were faithful men in prison. This is when all of Israel was in captivity to the Babylonians. Look at this in verse 15. Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, in symphony and with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God? Notice, it was not a big G. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Uh-oh. This is like the devil telling you, your family member will never get saved. Come on. That's when the doctor gives you a report and says there is no more hope. This is telling you that You know what? Your kid is going to grow up to be a prisoner. Oh, come on. Those are lies from the pit. And I'm only going to believe the report of the Lord. But this is what the king was asking them. How ridiculous when they only served one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But here they are, being questioned. Look at this in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, notice capital G, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. When's the last time you believed that report? But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So we know how the story went. The story ended up as they were cast into that fiery furnace. And there was three that were cast in. You got to remember the prisoner who opened, the guard who opened up the door. He was killed immediately when the hot blast came out. He was struck dead because it was so hot. And then they cast the three boys in there. But when the king looked in, how many people did he see? He was the fourth. Who was the fourth man? Come on. Who's the fourth man in your report? Who's the fourth man in your predicament? You see, saints, God is able to do humanly impossible things in your life, in my life, in our family's lives. I've heard some of your testimonies, your family. But every one of us have testimonies of deliverance, of salvation, of healing, of God doing supernatural things that doctors today are still baffled.
That's right. It's got to be a medical miracle.
No, it was God Almighty who spoke everything into existence. So, saints of God, in this message, I outline some of the wonderful things that God can do if you let him. But you got to believe. Can I get an amen? It all boils down, do you believe? Do you believe? Because as soon as we doubt, then we start walking in unbelief. And that's where God will not work in your behalf. You have to believe who he is. So this message, saints of God, is not just for the believers, but for those of you, we welcome you, Facebook and YouTube. It's for those who even have logged on and don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for you too. It's for you too. So let's look at this. Number one, we're going to go through some biblical principles this morning. God is able to save to the uttermost. Can I get an amen? And this word uttermost, it wasn't a word that I just wrote up. It's in the Word of God. The uttermost. And let me just, before I go to that scripture, can you think of what scripture that uttermost is mentioned? Okay. Time's up. Yeah. Let's go to Hebrews 7:25. Look at this. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What, you know what uttermost means? That means I don't care what predicament that person's in. I don't care what gutter he's laying in. I don't care what dipsy dumpster he's in. No matter where he's at in life, that God can save him. Save her. Can I get amen? There's nothing too hard for God. Say that with me. There's nothing too hard for God. Therefore, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. But you got to come through him. Can I get amen? Hare Krishna can't save you. Confucius can't save you. Allah can't save you. I'm trying to think of all of these little g gods. There's a whole bunch of them. And the rest of the 260 million in India. Saints, Jesus took our place that we might have his peace. How many can honestly say when you got saved, you're in peace now? Yes. Not just, listen, it's not so much peace that, you know, there's no wars or, you know, no, it's peace with God. Because before we gave our hearts to Jesus, we were at war with him. We were at war against God. We were doing everything in violation of his commandments. Everything known that violated his laws, we did. And yet, he still saved us. What kind of love is that? This is why we have to understand. Oh, what you get out of this message this morning is that he saved. My subtopic would be this. You know, there's a topic. My subtopic would be this. He saved to love you.
Amen.
He saved you to love you, man. God has nothing but love for us. Yes, he's a disciplinary God. Yes, he will chastise you. Yes, sometimes it hurts when you have to go to the whooping shed. But I'd rather get a spanking from him than be punished by the devil. See, the devil will punish you. God will chastise you. There's a difference. Because then through chastisement, there's correction. There's uplifting. There's building. Satan just wants to slander you. Tell you how... He wants to belittle you. And tell you you ain't worth nothing. Jesus, help us. So, he gave us to give us the peace. He took our sin that we might have his great and awesome salvation. Jesus came to save the lost, the last, and the least. Isn't that something? Let me say that again. He came to save the lost, the last, and the least. Come on, there's people in your mind right now. Well, I don't think God will ever save that one.
That's the one you say.
That's the least one. In your mind, not in God's mind. God still has him in mind. God's still going to turn it around. We sing that song. Turn it around, just turn it around. Yeah. You see, but this was prophesied in the Old Testament through the prophet Ezekiel, what God was going to do in the future. Can I get amen? Let's go there. Ezekiel 11:17. Look at this. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God. He wants you to say this. I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. So he promised Israel that, right? And they will go there, and they will take away all the detestable things and all of its abominations from there. Look at verse 19. Then I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out with their flesh. Look at this, from their flesh. And give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God.
Amen.
Well, guess what? The Messiah came through them. And because he came through them, he came to save you and I. So this was prophesied thousands of years ago what God was going to do. He was going to do the greatest miracle known to mankind, and that was being raised from the dead. That you and I can have life, and life more abundantly. You see, saints, when God saves us, our sins are forgiven, and guess what? They're forgotten forever. Did you know that only people and Satan himself and his dominion hordes, they will remind you of your sins. Sometimes your own family members will remind you of your sins. Did I get amen? Oh God, help us. Let me just say this. God will never remind you of your sin. He casts all your sins as far as the east is from the west. And he buries them in the sea of unforgetfulness. Unforgiveness. Whatever how you want to say it. Look at number two. God is able to help us when we are tempted. How many of you get tempted? I hope there's nobody in here that says, oh man, I'm Superman. I don't get tempted. Uh-huh. Take heed lest you fall. But in the book of Hebrews, it lets us know that God doesn't tempt us. But God can keep you from temptation if you take heed to his voice. Let's look at Hebrews 2:17. Look at this. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. So Jesus had to come down and be like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, that means a substitution, for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he was tempted. And he is able to aid those who are tempted. What? That's our freedom right there. He's able to aid you when we are tempted. So the next time you go to your phone or TV or computer and you want to look at some illicit stuff and he's speaking to you, take heed, because he wants to aid you. He wants to help you. He wants to say, no, don't go there. I want to keep you from that. Because the moment you give in to that, you will start bringing the wall down and allow every wicked thing to come upon you. Did you know if the house has been swept and you allow one demon like that to have a hold of you, seven wicked more will come and engulf you. My. Did you know, how many are golfers here? Anyone play golf? Okay, so before they made the modern golf ball, they never had divots in them. You know those little divots? You ever look at a golf ball and there's 1,000 divots in them. They used to be smooth. Why did they put the divots in there? Because it could allow the ball to travel even further when it's hit. So what it does, the air or the wind aids it, where before it would go against it. And so it's interesting that it was discovered after a ball had been roughed up, And one could get more distance out of it when you have divots in them. So now when you go buy golf balls, they all have divots in them. Because they all want to hit at 450 yards or 450 feet. So they all started manufacturing them, what their covers are like that. But my friends, so it is with life. Sometimes it takes some rough spots to make you go a little further with God. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? Sometimes rough spots will happen. Sometimes God allows things to happen. But he allows it because he wants you to go further with him. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? Just imagine if he, okay, I saved you. You're never going to have any more worries. No more trials. No more tribulations. You're going to wear a halo wherever you go. No. Things happen for reasons. Reasons that he allows. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look what I found in 1 Peter here. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. See, God spoke to Peter to write this down because there are some trials that are fiery. Well, we can go through trials, but a fiery trial is something, man, it's like, man, I don't want to go through this. Help me, God. This is where you're on your knees. This is where pride will not help you. Some of us have that macho, yeah, man. Lord, I can take this. Oh, yeah? Until he brings you to your knees and make you cry uncle. Oh, come on. I've been on my knees. Look at this. A fiery trial that's to try you as though some strange things happen to you. But rejoice. Say that with me. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You see, your trial will end. And when that particular trial ends, there's exceeding joy. Why? Because he was with you. He's with you. Look what else Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Look at this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. What did I just say earlier? Take heed lest you fall. Our enemy is pride. Do you know people that are prideful? Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know someone that's prideful? And listen, the one that person pointed to, just point back a mirror.
That's right.
Just point back a mirror. Listen, no temptation. Look at this. No temptation is overtaking you except such that is common to man. But say this with me. God is faithful. One more time. God is faithful. Look at this. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So what if you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar? Now get your hand out of it and leave it alone. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God caught you. Now leave it alone. How many times you told your child or your grandchild, don't touch the stove? Vas a quemar. Huh? And they touch it. They will not do that again. No. Not with the little blister. They won't do that again, huh? Every ship, every boat that I can think of has an anchor. And when you drop that anchor, it's for causing the boat not to drift away. Can I get an amen? There's anchors that God sometimes wants us to drop to the bottom of that seabed. You know why? So that we can feel the stress of the storm and not drift away. Because storms are coming. They come right after another. Look at Jamaica right now. You see what they have to live in now? Lord have mercy. And they have storms after storms over there. After that one's over, here comes another. Saints of God, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and tribulation. That's where God's going to measure you. That's where people will measure you. That's where you will measure yourself. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Let's go to our third principle. God is able to subdue all things unto himself. In other words, he can apprehend. He can remove these things that hinder you, that want to cause you to be defeated in life. And many of us have obstacles. You know, there's some things in your life that I have no issue with, but there's things in my life you may have an issue with. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. This is the new body that's promised to us, according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. In other words, this body of flesh that cannot go into heaven, he's going to subdue it, meaning he's going to remove it and give us the brand new body. We're going to be in the glorious body. How many can't wait for that glorious body? You can just fly when you want to fly away. There'll be no more sin in your mind. Think about that. There'll be no more lust. There'll be no more pride. There'll be no more hatred and anger. There will be no more slander in your heart. There'll be no temptation to cheat, to rob, and to steal. Come on, our nature does that automatically. Our nature does it automatically. So God's going to be able to subdue all that to himself and remove it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, somebody got to give him a shout. This is our eternal hope. This is what we hope for. This is what we live for now. That God's going to do the grand finale soon. You know, when you go to a 4th of July fireworks, we wait, anticipate for the grand finale. Well, this is going to be the grand finale. Being transformed from a lowly body into his glorious one. Woo, man. No more diabetes and cancer. No more high blood pressure. No more growing old. We're all going to look about 30. I look in the mirror and go, where did that guy go? Where did that 30-year-old go? God's going to do all these beautiful things for us. But you know what? To the ordinary unbeliever, to some brand new Christians, they would look at it's got to be a miracle, because nothing can do that for us, only but God, and only He can. You have to have a made up mind that that's the promises He made to us. God can take that which is even of no use and make it wonderful. How many can remember when you were useless? Huh? Come on. Even your family members said, man. You came over to visit them. They turned the blinds, close up the blinds. They would put a muzzle on the dog and wouldn't answer the door. Oh, you don't have people like that in your life, right? But look what He's done for us. Now I hope people enjoy your presence. Right? You're invited. You can come over. Just don't stay long, but you can come over. My friends, God uses broken things, because we were all Humpty Dumpties. Oh, come on. We were all Humpty Dumpties, and we all had a great fall. All of us, every one of us. It takes broken soil to produce a crop. Broken clouds to give rain. Broken grain to give bread. Broken bread to give strength. And it takes broken people to be a people of God. And we are now broken people of God. God total has broken us. You know, just go back to your old Western movies when they would have to break a horse down. You know, because a horse by nature is wild and it'll just keep bucking you and bugging. They had to break that horse down so that they can control it. Well, guess what? God broke us down. Can I get amen? He's the one that put the bit and bridle in our mouth. Did you know there's a bit and bridle in your mouth now? This is why you don't curse no more. This is why out of your mouth comes praises and worship. Hallelujah. Why? Because He's breaking you. He broke you down so that you can worship Him. My. But He had to break us, because prideful people will not lift up their hands and praise Him. Matter of fact, they'll use His name to curse somebody out. Jesus. It was the broken alabaster box that gave forth the perfume. No one knew what was in that box, and so she busted it over what? Jesus' feet. It was the Apostle Peter, weeping bitterly, who returns with greater power than ever. Remember, he was the scaredy cat. He denied Jesus 3 times. And then he preached his very first sermon. Repent! And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Hallelujah. That's right. And we are the generation to continue with this. Hallelujah. Look at our fourth principle. God is able to deliver us from the fires of life. We just read this. We'll read it again. Just in verse 17. Daniel 3:17. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O King. How many of you have testimonies of God delivering you? Never forget them. God will use them in the appropriate time to testify how good He is. Hope prevents us from clinging to what we have, and it frees us up to move away from safe place, unknown territory, which is called trust. How many trust in God? Amen. Then run to Him. Turn to Him. If He's delivered you, He saved you, He has done so many wonderful things, continue to trust Him. You know why? How many believe that this walk is a walk of faith? Paul wrote this plainly. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Don't let what you see deter what God is doing in your life. Because situations of life, sometimes they look ugly. But God looks at a beautiful thing He's about to do. Not only are you and I free in Christ, saints, did you know that God looks at you as royalty? Who do you mean? Did you know that God looks at you higher than the king and queen of England? What's the name? Charles? Prince what? Prince Williams? Okay, and then the old lady that just passed, what was her name? She was Queen Elizabeth, right? So that's they call that a royal family, right? They're beyond billionaires. We like to say it in an old school way. That's old money. That's old money. They didn't make that money through the digital age. That went way back several hundreds of years ago. But you know that God holds you in higher esteem? Did you know that you're royal in the kingdom of God? Somebody's saying, you got to show me that, Pastor Fee. I'll believe it if I read it for myself, or are you just up here babbling? Okay, turn to 1 Peter right up here. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Look what He did. We were what? We were in darkness. We were in wickedness, entrenched in darkness. And God called us out of that mess into His marvelous light. And now you are an ambassador. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a royal ambassador. Thank you, God. Look at this. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. You're special to Him. Why are you shortchanging your life? God wants everything for us while we're here on this earth. Everything imaginable, what? To bless your life. To make you prosperous. To help others. To bless others. Did you know He's blessing you to bless others? Not to hoard, but to bless others. Look, this beautiful couple came to bless us this morning. Amen. And that's a blessing. That's right. I'll hurry up so we can get to it.
Get to the blessing.
Oh, Hold your roll. I still got a little bit up here. So look at this. Verse 10. Who once were not a people. Come on, we weren't a people of God before. But now the people of God who've not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God's had mercy on us. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Fifthly, God is able to build us up. Build you up. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And we find that in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Look at this. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Can I get amen? This is where we get that. Are you building somebody else's life up? Husbands, wives, are you building your spouse up or are you tearing them down? You got to build them up. Listen, I share this with the men. You build up your wife and she will eat out of the palm of your hand. If you love her unconditionally, if you learn how to bless her, man, you'll have the favor of God on you. And God will say, that's my boy. That's my boy, man. That's my boy. That's my boy. I want that favor. I want God to say, well done. I want God to tell me, you were good to her. I gave her to you so you can bless her. I don't want to fall short in that area. We only get a crack at this once. Make it real. Make it for real in your life. Look at this. Which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. We are sanctified. God has set us apart. Listen, this Sunday morning service right here, all of you that are here, he has set us apart. Because the world ain't listening to this. We are. Because he has set us apart. Because you are his special people. And I am so very thankful that he's called me to teach and preach. I'm just being a servant to him. I'm just doing what he called me to do. And this is all that I know what to do. Is to serve you guys. And I do it with joy. I do it because I love you guys. Because you know what? I grew up in a family that didn't love me. And I see the love here. And it blesses my heart. It blesses my heart. Living in the Spirit will cause us to be built up in Christ. Built up in the faith. And built up in the Word. Look what Jude wrote right up here. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So as we transition from this mortal life to a life of immortality, it's all a transitional period. We're learning about God. He's teaching us so that when we get to the other side, there would be at least 50% already of a download in us. He will teach us the rest up there. Thank you, God. Look at this. God is able to exceed your expectations. Do you put limits on God? Never put a limit on God. I shared my testimony how we got this home. We couldn't do it in our own strength. We couldn't do it in our own finances. We couldn't do it with what we had that a lender required. But God exceeded that. He went beyond that. Something that would blow us away. He wants to do something in your life that's going to blow you away. Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you should be able to speak to that mountain and move it. Can I get amen? Amen. Things in your life should be able to be removed if you speak the word. Use what God has given us. God's restrictions not only hold us, it not only holds us down, but they also build us up. So there's certain things in our life that God says refrain from, but guess what? He's trying to teach us that there's better ways. We will never achieve fulfillment, saints, unless He is in control of our life. Have you learned to let go? Have you learned to give Him everything in it that we know, to give it to Him? Say, God, I give this to You. If You choose to take it from me, then I know You have something better for me.
Amen. That's right.
He does. He's got a better plan. His plan is so much better than my plan. So much better. That's right. So much better. He will never achieve fulfillment unless He is in control, saints. People can meet superficial needs, but only God can meet our deepest need. The deep things of God, only He can meet those. King David wrote about that. Look at this. The Lord upholds all who fall, and raises all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open up Your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, glorious in all His works. Look at this in verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. To all who call upon Him in truth, He will fulfill the desires of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. That's the dichotomy of God. If there's another side of God, is that He will destroy wickedness. We need to separate ourselves from wicked things. Can I get amen? Wicked things. And God, teach us. Teach us Your ways. Teach us a better way, God. Take that ugly thing that's in me. Take it out, God. If it's alcohol, He'll take it. If it's pornography, He'll take it. If it's cursing, just blah, 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 and you curse, He'll take it. But you got to give it to Him. You got to say, God, I can't do this on my own strength. I give it to You. When you come to that place where you give it to Him, He will graciously take that and replace it with the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, forgiveness, gentleness. He will replace that and take the anger out, take the hostility out, and give you tranquility of the Holy Spirit. How many would rather be in that place with Him? Give it to Him. We're coming in for a close. Coming in for a close. I can already see some of us biting into that tostada. Number 7, look at this. God is able to heal and set us free. How many believe that?
Amen.
Our sisters that's sitting in the captain's seat over there went through a trial. Yeah. I've had one similar to snap in my back. You don't want to wish that on no one. Can I get amen? Amen. Having your back out of whack? Sometimes it's torture. Sometimes it's like, oh God, am I ever going to get healed? Yes. God's our healer. God's our healer. Can I get an amen? Look what I found in the book of Matthew. And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. Let me ask this question. What is the one thing in your life right now that's a hindrance? What is the one thing that you don't know how to let go of and give it to God? Is it a physical ailment? Is it something that he fights you against and you don't want to give it to him? There's things in our life, every one of us. Did you know that whatever you're struggling with, it's tailor-made for you? You're not struggling like your brother or your sister struggles with that issue, but you're struggling with it. And God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free. God wants to deliver you. God wants to bring you the peace. This is a survey that I found, and we'll read these scriptures and close. Look at this. 99% of doctors are convinced that religious belief can heal. Because you know what? When the miracle takes place in the hospital room,
it was a medical miracle.
No, it was God that came in.
That's right. That's right.
75% of doctors believe the prayers of others can help a patient's recovery. Did you know that? When's the last time you were in a hospital room praying? Mm-hmm. 38% of doctors believe that faith in Christ can make people well. Did you know there's only 38%? Because they think it's medicine that will heal you. Yeah, I believe in science. We're going to go quickly through these. But God is able to keep us from falling. Did you know that we are prone to fall? Did you know that sometimes we can slip and trip? Did you know that some of us can do some really bad face plants? And then God has to come with this spiritual spatula and scrape you off the floor. Look at this. Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God's able to keep you. But here's the key here. You have to believe that you, when you have an issue of sin, you have to believe and give it to God and believe that he can bless you through this and help you through it. Look at this in 1 John. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all. And what does all mean? Unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Wow. My goodness. Lastly, I'm going to go to number 10 here. Let's go to 10 here. God is able to rebuke the enemies of our lives. Let me just say this. Flesh and blood is not our enemy. Your brother, your sister, your spouse is not your enemy. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. This is things that we cannot see with our natural eye. But if you put on your spiritual glasses, you're able to see that demon. What shall we say then? Paul wrote this to the Roman church. What shall we say then? Say that with me. What shall we say then? What shall we do then, Pastor? What do we do about this? It's right here in Romans. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be what? Against us. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him from all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Turn to your neighbor and say, God has elected you. We're the elect of God. And then he says what? It is God who justifies. Look at this. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Let me just say this as we finish this. This is why this hope that we're reading should be the one fighting your battle. It's the word of God. Look at this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, my sake, we are killed all day long. All day long we deal with this. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, say that with me, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul wrote on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, is he worthy? Saints of God, I hope you take this message and this will be a type of weapon for you. That God's word will defend you in every situation of life. And I'm speaking now to the people that are logged in on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to extend that invitation to you right now by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can enter into the joy of the Lord and experience this wonderful gift, this miracle called salvation. So bow your heart and head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.